Africa's largest oil producer, acts as its gas subsidy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning and Happy New Year. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith in for Steve Chiatakis. Nigerians are expressing outrage this morning. The government has just announced it's nixing a longtime fuel subsidy. Nigerians had been paying about $1.50 for a gallon of gas. Gas prices have already more than doubled in many parts of the country. The BBC's Tomi Oladipo joins me now from the capital city of Lagos. Good morning, Tomi.
Good morning.
So, Tomi, what are the implications of getting rid of this fuel subsidy for Nigeria?
Well, obviously, life becomes harder. If the price of fuel goes up, then transport prices go up and food prices go up and everything else will follow. A lot of Nigerians have said that the fuel subsidy was the only benefit that they saw coming from an oil-producing country, because Nigeria is still a developing country and many things are not in place, from healthcare to roads to education. All those things still have a lot of problems. So a lot of Nigerians thought that the cheap fuel that they had was the only benefit. And so everything, you know, life is going to become much more expensive now.
And you're on the streets of Lagos this morning, from what I understand. What are you seeing?
Today, a lot of the fuel stations have been closed. For the ones that are open, there have been very long queues, people queuing up with their cars and people bringing cans along so that they can keep some extra fuel at home. And, of course, the fuel prices have doubled, but it seems like people just want to take precautionary measures and get as much fuel as they can and keep that.
Tomi Oladipo joins us from Lagos, Nigeria this morning. Tomi, thank you.
You're welcome.
A major government incentive for solar power expired this week. But as Eve Tro reports from the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, renewable energy is set to grow in 2012.
The past 3 years, solar power projects were essentially 30% off, thanks to a U.S. Treasury grant program. Roan Resch at the Solar Energy Industry Alliance says most grants went to the little guys.
Small electricians or small developers that install solar on homes and businesses.
But that grant just expired. Now it's a tax rebate. Resch says small firms won't owe enough in taxes to benefit and could close. But big solar companies will use that tax break. They're luring big new investors.
Bank of America, Google, Berkshire Hathaway, they feel comfortable not only with the technology, but also with the returns on their investment.
Solar looks sweet to investors as more utilities promise to buy the power, says Tim Kemper. He follows energy finance for the Resnick Group.
Really what's driven is the capital, without a doubt.
That goes for wind power, too. A different tax credit has spurred investment in wind turbine factories. Bruce Hamilton at Navigant Consulting says that expires in a year.
Therefore, the developers are rushing to get projects in before that deadline.
Because there's no telling how the political winds might blow for renewable energy beyond 2012. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. U.S. markets are closed this morning, but they ended 2011 on a down note. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 0.5%, ending the year at 12,217. That is 5.5% higher than where it started the year. European markets are up in spite of the fact manufacturing in the Eurozone fell for the fifth straight month. Germany's DAX is up 2.75% this morning. And apparently, a coupe full of bubbly is helping the bad economy go down for many of us. Champagne shipments were up 30% in the U.S. this year.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Progressive Insurance with Snapshot, a program in which rates are determined by the driving habits of policyholders. Learn more at progressive.com. American Public Media announces the Splendid Tables new book, How to Eat Weekends, with dozens of new recipes, now available at bookstores nationwide.
One thing we'll be hearing a lot about this election year: ways to grow the economy. Small businesses are looking for their share of the action, but it could have unintended consequences, as Jennifer Collins reports.
Jared Carr's family owns Osagian Canoes in Lebanon, Missouri. Carr has always wanted to export more of the boats. The trouble was, the shipping added $500 to a $1,000 canoe.
With our canoes, you can't really fold them up. I wish I could create the one that was like the Jetsons car.
So instead of making a canoe that collapsed into that briefcase George Jetson carried to work, Carr hired a small manufacturer in Denmark to do the finishing work.
By not welding them together, we're able to stack them up in hundreds and 200s where we can actually ship them and make it cost effective for the end user.
And it puts Osagian among the ranks of the 250,000 U.S. small businesses that bring in $500 billion a year through exports.
Small businesses are the fastest growing part of exports.
Karen Mills is the head of the Small Business Administration. Her agency, along with the Commerce Department, advises small businesses to access loans and trains them to tap into overseas markets.
More exports means more American jobs.
But it may mean sending some jobs overseas. Dante DiGregorio teaches international trade at the University of New Mexico. He says there's a fine line between exporting and outsourcing.
In the process of developing export ties, most international partners want to see it in both directions.
Chile buys mining equipment from the U.S., but Chilean workers put it together. South Korea buys high-tech equipment from the U.S., but it's installed by Korean engineers. He says that kind of activity is a good thing.
Trade is a two-way street, and there can be direct benefits to the U.S. from certain outsourced activities.
Osagian hires at least two workers in Missouri for every person in Denmark. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And finally, 80-year-old News Corp CEO Rupert Murdoch started a Twitter feed over the weekend. So far, Murdoch's tweeted about how great he thinks New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg is, called him the city's best mayor in memory, and how much he liked the films The Descendants and We Bought a Zoo. Check us out on Twitter. We'll tell you which movies we liked. We're at MKT Place Radio. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. And this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Politically speaking, we all know the Iowa caucuses are a big deal. But economically speaking, they're also a big deal for Iowa.
This is a huge spot for people who are coming in not only to cover the caucuses, the press, but also stargazers. They know that Centro is one of the top places to see folks.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. The trickle-down effects, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.